thinking about what to talk about. If only God would tell me what to say, I wouldn't have any problems. So I really, it takes a lot of prayer to find out what God wants you to say. And I believe that this is what God wants me to share with you this morning. You know, in the Soviet Union, the most popular book that the women would look at was the Sears Roebuck catalog. And they just could not believe that, is there such a place that has so much stuff as the United States of America? Is there such a place? Is it possible? And there's people all around the world that they're just they're without the common commodities that we have here in America. I mean, I remember when I went to Armenia, the houses don't have paint. There's no Home Depot. You don't just, if your faucet breaks, you don't just go down to the hardware store and buy a new one. I mean, there's like a handful of skilled carpenters, and only they know where to get these things. So it's very different. I remember I was in Walmart just the other day, standing in line, and I was just looking at the shelf and one row, and there's like 100 different kind of toys. I was thinking, what in the world is this? This is America, and people around the world, they think it would be heaven itself if they could just live in a place with so much abundance. When I was in Armenia and also in the Philippines, there's just so many people who were without so many things. They live life so simple compared to us. I mean, you look at their kitchen. They don't have kitchen cabinets. Sometimes they don't even have a kitchen table. And they don't even have silverware sometimes. They eat with, I mean, in some places they just have a banana leaf or tea leaves and they just eat with their hands. I mean, so simple. The Hayden Planetarium in New York rather jokingly sent out word that they were taking reservations for the first manned rocket to the moon. And to their surprise, 25,000 people rode in, all of them desiring to be among the first passengers to leave the Earth for the moon. And one woman wrote, "It would be heaven to get away from this busy Earth. I honestly wish God would let me go and get away, to just go somewhere where it's nice, peaceful, good, safe, and secure." And this is the cry of the human heart around the circle of the globe today, for a better place to live. And how many of you are looking for a better place to live? Amen. I mean, we live in Hawaii. It doesn't get any better than this in this earth. But still, I long for a better place to live. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Father in heaven, thank you so much for this opportunity to share your word this morning. And as we're going to be talking about heaven, a better place to live, please, Father, give us this desire and help us to use our imaginations this morning to contemplate the things that you have prepared for us. Prepare us, Father, for this message. In Jesus' name, amen. The cry of the human heart around the circle of the globe today is a better place to dwell. Is there such a place of absolute contentment, a place where human suffering is and woe is not known, a place where all the problems and perplexities of life do not exist? Is there such a place? The book of Genesis presents a picture of the newly created world, perfect in every aspect, inhabited by a sinless pair, Adam and Eve. And God had a purpose in creating the world. In Isaiah 45:18, we read, "For thus says the Lord that created the heavens, God himself that formed the earth and made it, he hath established it. He created it not in vain. He formed it to be inhabited." You see, God created this world perfect, a perfect world. But things have changed, haven't they? Is this world perfect anymore? Things are not the way they used to be. However, the restoration of all things as they were in the beginning of time will soon become a reality. Jesus is coming soon. Christ has paid the price for our redemption and for the restoration of the world to its Edenic beauty. You know, in our memory verse this morning, John 14, 1-3, let not your hearts be troubled. How many of you have troubled hearts? Let not your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me, believe in Jesus. He says, in my Father's house are many mansions. Not just one mansion. He has many mansions for everyone. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go and prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. How many of you want to live in a mansion with Jesus? I want to live in a mansion with Jesus. I've seen pictures of mansions. And I just think, man, what are they going to do with so many rooms? 50 rooms. How many rooms do you need in a house? But Jesus is preparing mansions for us. He's thinking big. As with all the promises of Jesus, we can depend on this one, that Jesus is coming soon. And he will take his people to live with him in heaven. Amen? 1 Thessalonians 4:16 and 17, the Bible says, for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. And so we find that the place that Christ will take his redeemed, that the Apostle Paul is talking about, this place is heaven. Revelation 21 and verse 1. Let's open our Bibles to Revelation 21. We're going to be reading a lot of scriptures from Revelation, so we could just leave our Bibles open to Revelation chapter 21 and verse 1. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And in 2 Peter 3, 10 and 13, but the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat, the earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. So this earth of ours that we're living in right now is going to be burned up. This paradise park is going to be in smoke someday when Jesus comes again. And God is going to recreate this earth, transformed into the very beauty, like the beginning when Adam and Eve were first created. What will heaven be like? You ever think about that? What will be some of the changes from our present existence? To many, heaven has been merely a mystical wonderland of non-existence, an invisible, unreal world of spirits. Few will deny that God is real, but few will deny that Jesus is real. Few will deny that the Bible I hold in my hand is real. And if this Bible is real, if Jesus and God is real, heaven is real. So this morning, we're going to look at the promises of God, and we're going to see what God is preparing for us. You know, I have some clients. I have a lot of weird clients. You know, there's a lot of weird people out there, but they believe in God. And even though there are these New Age, hippie, Buddhist, whatever, I mean, they believe in God. But do they believe in heaven? They don't believe in heaven. But I believe in heaven, and the Bible talks about heaven. It says in Isaiah chapter 65, verse 17. For behold, I create new heavens and a new earth, and the former shall not be remembered, nor come into mind. And in verse 21 and 22, the Bible says that we are told, we will build houses and inhabit them. They shall plant vineyards and eat the fruit of them. They shall not build and another inhabit. They shall not plant and another eat. For as the days of a tree are the days of my people, and mine elect shall long enjoy the work of their hands. How many of you have had the privilege of building a house? You know, building a house is very fun, especially if it's your first house. You get to design it, you get to go to the store and pick out whatever materials you want, what color. There's so many choices here in Hawaii. So many designs of houses. And the Bible says, in heaven, we're going to build a house. And I wonder, what kind of house are you going to build in heaven? I asked myself this before. What kind of house? Is God going to show us like a, you know, you can choose any one of these houses you want to build. I'll show you how to do it. Are we going to go to carpentry school in heaven and God is going to teach us step by step? This is how you use these materials. This is how you shape the gold and the silver and the diamonds. What kind of materials are you going to use for your house? Are you going to build a tree house? An ice house? What kind of house are you going to build? You know, building materials are so expensive. I'm building a house right now on 13th Street. A simple house, but so expensive. I can't wait to go to heaven and all the materials are free. You can build whatever kind of house you want and God will teach us how. I asked Jing the other day, so you're going to build a house too? There's going to be women carpenters in heaven too, I believe. You're going to be, I don't know if they're going to be swinging hammers. I mean, the New Jerusalem, it says, well, you know, in the temple, the Jerusalem temple which Solomon had built, you could not hear the sound of a hammer. I mean, the architects were so skilled. And I believe that God will give us the skill of the best architect to build these houses. And not only houses, but to plant vineyards. How many of you are good at growing food? Half of the stuff I grow dies. I can't wait to grow something and eat it. I wanna grow fruits. I love fruits. It says, as for the days of a tree are the days of my people. I mean, trees live a long time. I saw the oldest tree in the Sequoia National Park. The tree was 111 feet around. It takes like a minute and something seconds to walk around the tree. I mean, the tree is so big, you look up, you can't even see the top. That tree is thousands of years old. And you know what? 1,000 years is not even a second compared to eternity. 1,000,000 years is not even a second. I think 100 years, I mean, I look at some people that are living 100 years old, and I think, man, that person is so old. That's nothing. In 1 Corinthians 15, 51 and 52, for behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. So, not only is there going to be a perfect heaven, but we're going to have a perfect body in heaven. Can you imagine never getting tired? Never getting sick? Lately, I've been seeing a lot of sickness getting spread like a fire. First, Jasmine is throwing up. Then I was throwing up. Then Jing got sick. Then Jasmine got sick. It's just a vicious cycle. But in heaven, there'll be no more sickness. No more loneliness. No more pimples. No more hair falling out, no more gray hair, no more bald spots. I'm getting these bald spots on my beard here, and I don't know what's going on, but in heaven, there's not going to be any more weird things happening to our bodies. This corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. The Apostle Paul in Philippians 3:21 states, "Who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is even able to subdue all things unto himself." The multitude of plagues and ills that plague the human race today will be known no more in heaven. Isaiah 33:24. This is such a powerful verse. Isaiah 33:24. "And the inhabitants shall not say, I am sick. The people that dwell therein shall be forgiven their iniquity." I just can't believe it. Never getting sick again. Never getting tired again. Isaiah 35, 5 and 6. "Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened, and the ears of the deaf shall be unstopped. The lame man shall leap as an hart, and the tongue of the dumb will sing." Few in our world, I mean, I bet nobody in our world has ever not gotten sick. Nobody has ever not gotten hurt. But in heaven, the more than 300 diseases that exist today will be known no more. nor will suffering or sorrow exist in the land of perfection. And the Lord reminds us in Revelation 21, verse 4, God will wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. A change will come, friends, to our bodies. We will have strong, healthy bodies. And not only to our bodies, but even in the animal kingdom. The wolf will dwell with the lamb. The leopard will lie down with the kid. The calf and the young lion and the fatling together, and the little child shall lead them. You know, Jasmine, our daughter, loves animals. She loves all animals. She loves cats. She loves dogs. It doesn't matter if you have a big Rottweiler. She'll love that dog, and she'll walk right up to it. She's not afraid of any animals. You know, sometimes little kids are terrified of dogs. If they're barking, she'll just go, ar, ar. She'll just bark along with them. And I can't wait to see in heaven Jasmine just go up to a big lion. I can't wait to go up to a big lion and just squeeze it without worrying about the lion biting me. You think about that. Just going up to a big lion and not being afraid. Like Daniel in the lion's den, not having fear. In the Bible, the capital in heaven, the capital is going to be New Jerusalem. And in Revelation 21, verses 10 to 18, it gives a description of this city of New Jerusalem. And we find that the city of New Jerusalem is 375 miles square. 375 miles wide, 375 miles long. That is a huge city. 375 miles high. Now, why would a city need to be 375 miles high? Skyscrapers, maybe. Jesus might have some 375 mile high mansions. Who knows? But you could fit a lot of people in a 375 mile high building, couldn't you? Some people say 375 miles for the whole world. Is that enough? But when you got skyscrapers that high, that's enough. The gates, there's 12 foundations that support the walls of the New Jerusalem, which are solid jasper. I looked up the word jasper. I never really knew what jasper looked like. But jasper is red, yellow, or brown quartz. And maybe it says in the dictionary that it's opaque. But if it's pure, maybe it's transparent too. I don't know. Like gold. The gates are of solid pearl. The streets are of transparent gold. The throne of God is in the city, and out of the midst of the throne proceeds the river of life. And overarching the river of life is the tree of life on either side. I can't wait to see the tree of life. How about you? Can you imagine one tree feeding the entire city? One tree? We planted a tangerine tree, and it bore maybe 20 tangerines. It lasted us a little while. But can you imagine a tree that never runs out of fruit? A huge tree. I can't wait to pick the fruits from this tree. Beautiful beyond all human words to describe will be the mansions that Jesus has gone to prepare for those who love him. And some people ask, in heaven, will I know my loved ones? Will you know your friends in heaven? In 1 Corinthians 13, 12, the Bible says, so we will know. Then shall I know, even as also I am known. So we will know our loved ones in heaven. We'll see our familiar faces, those familiar faces, those family friends, people who we've maybe shared the love of Jesus with, will come up to us and shake our hands and say, thank you so much for giving me the invitation to accept Jesus. Wouldn't that be really exciting? Somebody comes up to you and says that to you. I think I would just start crying right there and say, wow, praise God. All the joys of heaven. You know, there's going to be so many joys in heaven. Having a new body. The fact that you're going to live forever. The fact that you have a mansion prepared for you. You didn't have to build it yourself. But the best thing in heaven is going to be seeing Jesus. The man who died for you. And you're going to really appreciate Jesus' sacrifice when you get to heaven, I tell you what. Revelation 22, 3 and 4. As for the new heavens and the new earth, which I shall make, shall remain before me, says the Lord, so shall your seed and your name remain. And it shall come to pass that from one new moon to another, and from one Sabbath to another, shall all flesh come and worship before me, says the Lord. Isaiah 66:22-23. So even when we get to heaven, we're going to be worshiping God every Sabbath. That is really nice. Do you ever try to comprehend eternal life? I mean, sometimes I just look up into this into sky and I realize, wow, this world is big. I'm so small compared to the outer, all the worlds out there and the stars. And I start thinking, wow, before me was, you know, before this world was created, God was there already. God was there before. A million years ago, God was still there. And I think about that, and I think how small I really am. And it starts to whet my appetite, and I just start thinking about heaven. And you know, we can get little glimpses of heaven, just enough to whet our appetite, to give us this desire to be there. And this is my goal this morning, is to whet our appetite for heaven. God always existed, and God must love us so much to create us. You know, sometimes I think about if I died and then I didn't wake up again. I wouldn't even know that I was dead. I wouldn't even know anything anymore. I don't want to experience that. I love being alive. I want to always be alive. And I think, like, wow, God has the power to make us alive. I mean, we weren't created to die. We weren't created to experience death. We were created to live forever. Amen? The story is told of a little girl. A little girl who was walking down the street with her daddy. And one day she was looking up into the heavens. And she said to him, "Heaven must be so beautiful." And he said, "Well, why do you think that?" And she says, "Because the light shining through the cracks of the floor is so beautiful. What must heaven be like? How can we be assured that we will be in this place of glory?" We all want to have the assurance of eternal life, amen? How can we have this assurance? What are the qualifications that the Bible lays down that we might enter through the gates of pearls? In John 3:16. "For whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." God so loved the world, I forgot that part, that he gave his only begotten Son. Whoever believes in him should not perish. So the first step is to believe in Jesus. You all believe in Jesus, right? But do you believe that Jesus can redeem you from your sins? That is the first step, that Jesus is the only one who can take away your sins. And Revelation 22:14, those of you who have called Kevin and heard his voicemail, "Blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life and may enter in through the gates into the city. One who believes in the Lord Jesus Christ will then give a demonstration of his belief by obeying his commandments." So if you believe in Jesus, You will keep his commandments. It says, and Jesus will help us to keep his commandments. Amen. It's not just a theological belief in Jesus, but it's a belief like, yes, Jesus, I believe you and I accept you as my redeemer from sin. And I want to obey you. And Jesus will definitely help us to do that. And in Revelation 21:27, we are told, "There shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination." And I was wondering, what does that mean? Worketh, anything that worketh abomination. I looked up the word abomination, and it says something that is you detest, something that is you abhor. And so if you're doing things that God detests or things that God abhors, then you are not going to enter the kingdom of heaven, basically, is what it's saying. And so we need to ask and pray to God that he will help us to stop doing those things that he detests. Amen. And it says, or anyone who makes a lie. I've told a lot of lies in my life. And I still need to pray to God that He will help me to stop saying these little lies. You know, little things can, your facial expression can be a lie. Did you know that? I mean, we can lie without even speaking. Just by our body language, we can lie. So I need a lot of prayer in that. And I want you guys to pray for me, and I want to pray for all of you that God will help us, that we can be prepared for heaven. But they which are written in the Lamb's Book of Life, all that defiles must be rooted out of our lives now, that we may be purified and sanctified, that our names may be written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Because not everyone that says, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but only who? Only those who do the will of the Father in heaven. Matthew 7:21. So here's a good question. Are we following the will of God? And I'm asking myself right now. Am I following the will of the Heavenly Father today? And verse 13 and 14, Matthew 7:13-14. It says, enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leads unto life, and few there be that find it. And my prayer this morning is that our feet may be planted in the straight and narrow way, the straight and narrow path that leads into eternal life. I want to go to heaven. How about you? In this book, The Adventist Home, in the very last chapter, I was just reading, it talks about our life in the Eden home. And I was just started highlighting things that I liked, and pretty soon I noticed that I highlighted the whole chapter. And I cannot read to you the whole chapter, so I'm going to pick some of the favorite ones that I had. All that has perplexed us in the providences of God will in the world to come be made plain. So every question you ever had, when we get to heaven, you'll understand it. The things hard to be understood will then find explanation. We are homeward bound. He who loved us so much to die for us has builded for us a city. The New Jerusalem is our place of rest, and there will be no sadness. Listen to this. The Lord has given me a view of other worlds. Wings were given me. Ellen White had a vision where she went to heaven. And an angel attended me from the city to a place that was bright and glorious. The grass of the place was living green, and the birds there warbled a sweet song. The inhabitants of the place were of all sizes. They were noble, majestic, and lovely. They bore the express image of Jesus, and their countenances beamed with a holy joy, expressive of the freedom and happiness of the place. I asked one of them why they were so much more lovely than those on the earth. Why are we so ugly on the earth and they're so beautiful there, she's wondering. The reply was, we have lived in strict obedience to the commandments of God and have not fallen by disobedience like those on earth. And I begged of my attending angel to let me remain in that place. I could not bear the thought of coming back to this dark world again. The angel said, you must go back. If you are faithful, you with 144,000 shall have the privilege of visiting all the worlds and viewing the handiwork of God. I was reading in a devotional, and it was just talking about how when we get to heaven, God, you know, we're going to have school in heaven. We're never going to stop learning. And we're going to have a lot of science, and God is going to be our teacher. He's going to teach us how He colored the flowers. He's going to teach us how He decorated the mountains, how He constructed the worlds. And we're going to be able to understand and comprehend how He did it. And I was like, wow. Let all that is beautiful in our earthly home. There's a lot of beautiful things in Hawaii, amen. There's a lot of little heavens here on this island. Let everything that is beautiful here remind us of the crystal river and the green fields, the waving trees and the living fountains, the shining city and the white-robed singers of our heavenly home. That world of beauty which no artist can picture. Several artists have tried to paint what heaven is going to look like, but they can't do it because they can't imagine it. Heaven is so beautiful, you can't even imagine how beautiful it is. as the years of eternity will roll, they will bring richer and still more glorious revelations of God and of Christ. As knowledge is progressive, so will heaven, reverence, and happiness increase. That's hard to imagine, yeah? I mean, you think getting to heaven is the peak of happiness already. But that's only the beginning. It's like getting married. You think once you get married, that's like the peak of eternal bliss. Marital bliss is getting married right there. Honeymoon, and you're the happiest man in the world. But that's only the beginning. It's progressive. Your happiness is to increase and increase and increase as your life continues. And that's how it's going to be in heaven. You know, I heard this preacher, and he was talking about the nene goose. And he was saying how it's going extinct. And there's actually a nene goose sanctuary down at HPP down here. I've walked down there, and if you go down there, you'll see them walking around. And the reason they're going extinct is because they mate for life. If their spouse dies, they don't get married again. They mate for life. And, you know, they have programs that protect them. And the Bible protects us. Amen? The Bible protects marriages. And if we would follow the example of the nene goose, we would be a lot happier. Just mate one, you know, you meet your wife and you keep her. Don't go find another one. And in heaven, there's not going to be any divorce. In heaven, there's not going to be any marriage. You know, I was thinking, I don't know, my wife always told me before, whenever she would hear that there's not going to be any marriage in heaven, but I want to be married to you in heaven. And I was thinking like, oh, yeah, whatever. But the other day I was thinking the way she was thinking. I really love you. I really want to be married to you in heaven. And I was thinking, well, you know, if God doesn't have marriage in heaven, he must have something better. Something better. So, some kind of relationship that will be much more satisfied and content than any marriage could ever bring. Amen. We're gonna work in heaven. In the earth made new, the redeemed will engage in the occupations and pleasures that brought happiness to Adam and Eve in the beginning. The Eden life will be lived, the life in garden and field. They shall build houses and inhabit them. So in heaven, we're gonna work. And it's not gonna be the kind of work where you go work for somebody else and they, you know, give you your wages and you're tired. And you're gonna go work and you're gonna enjoy your work. You're gonna plan something and you're probably gonna see it start growing right there. I mean, you're gonna build your house and you're gonna live in that house, not somebody else. Unless you are helping your friend build their house. You're gonna get enjoyment out of working. I mean, I enjoy working, honestly. I love working. God gave us work to be a pleasure, to be good for us. But when you come home and you just feel miserable, you just want to sleep. You don't want to do anything else. In heaven, we're not going to get that feeling of so tired. And I want to share this with you. There in heaven, every power will be developed. Every capability increased. You know, here in earth, we only use like 10% of our brain. In heaven, we're going to use every single percentage of our brain. Every capability. The grandest enterprises will be carried forward. The loftiest aspirations will be reached. The highest ambitions realized. You know, sometimes I think like, oh, I would love to be an astronaut or a lawyer or a doctor. And, you know, these are like ambitions way out there. But in heaven, you think like, oh, I want to be the next person to design that skyscraper. You know, you're gonna reach your ambition because God is going to give you the mental abilities to do it. And still, there will arise new heights to surmount, new wonders to admire, new truths to comprehend, fresh objects to call forth, the powers of body, mind, and soul. We are living in a solemn period of this world's history. And this is my closing appeal for the sermon. There is never a time to sin. Sometimes I think like, oh, I'm just going to sin this one time. And then, never. There's never a time. It is always perilous to continue in transgression. But in a special sense, is this true at the present time? We are now upon the very borders of the eternal world and stand in a more solemn relation to time and to eternity than ever before. Now, let every person search his own heart and plead for the bright beams of the Sun of Righteousness to expel all spiritual darkness and cleanse from all defilement. I urge you to prepare for the coming of Christ in the clouds of heaven, and day by day, let's draw closer to the one who loves us most. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Father in heaven, thank you so much for giving us a little picture of heaven. Thank you for whetting our appetites, Father, to hunger and to desire a heavenly home. Please, Father, come into our hearts. Please forgive us for the sins we've committed against you. And give us victory, Father, over the little sins that we often are beset by. Help us, dear Jesus, to climb higher and closer to you. Thank you so much for loving each and every one of us with such a love that we don't even comprehend. Thank you for building a city in heaven and a mansion for us. And thank you for your promises that you're coming soon and you don't want our hearts to be troubled. Help us to believe in you. In Jesus' name, amen.